One here tonight. I see Marlene over there. Good to have you here, Marlene. Marlene, you're the number one on Cynthia and I's prayer list. Somehow you got to be number one. How many people in here have ever been to pastor school in Hammond, Indiana? Could you raise your hand? How many? One, two, three, four, five, six.
Okay.
Huh? I wasn't there for Hiles.
You weren't there for Hiles. Well, when Pastor Hiles was, yeah, I should be a little more specific. When Pastor Hiles was the pastor at pastor school, how many people were there? Two, three. Okay. When I hear the choir sing, it reminds me of pastor school. Now, it's only a little version of it. I mean, obviously this church isn't as big as Brother Hiles' church, but it just reminded me of that. And when Lily or Alicia or Luke play the piano, it reminds me of pastor school. It reminds me of that church. And my message tonight, it's a one word for the title, men, M-E-N. And I feel that I could preach about men because, after all, I am one. So I have a little experience. But pastor school is something that had a great effect on my life. And I want to share that with you tonight and the men who have had an effect on my life. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask for your blessing tonight. I pray that I'd be able to share what the answers to prayers and the influence that you have blessed me with from other men, Father. And we just pray this and ask for your blessing on us all tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, my Bible verse tonight is from Psalm number 1. You go there, I'll read it to you. Psalm number 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. It's, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate, or in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And when I think of the men that have been an influence on me, that have inspired me, it goes back to pastor school, because that's where I met men that they're gone now. And I had the privilege to hear them preach, to actually meet some of them. And I want to share with you tonight what they have done for me in my life, how they've affected my life. And I remember my first time going to pastor school. And if you don't know what pastor school is, the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, took 4 days in March and invited all the pastors from all over the country, independent fundamental Baptist pastors, to they called it a school, to show them what they have been doing and the success that they had in soul winning and in baptisms and their Sunday schools and everything, right down to a literal science. And there was probably 4,000 or 5,000 men plus pastors and deacons and their wives and families that attended that. And I remember the first year, a pastor went out there first by himself. And I could see the change in his life when he came back. And a couple years later, I went with Pastor. I don't remember how we got there, whether we drove. I think we probably drove there. I'm not sure. But I remember it was in March. And in March in Chicago, the weather is horrible. It could be the very, it just is the worst. And we were standing outside the building because they didn't let you inside, so you had to wait outside until they opened the doors. The wind was blowing at least 40 miles an hour, and it was snowing. And it was probably 20 above zero. And I said, I don't want to be here. I want to go home. And but finally they opened the doors and we went inside, and within an hour, my whole attitude had changed. And I realized that God took me through the desert and the ice and the snow and everything else, and it was worth it. And I went back many times. Every time you would go there, they would give you either a pin or something with the data. I have them all. And but I do remember the one time, it was 1996, and the preacher was Al Lacey. And I think he's probably, his message was probably one of the greatest messages I've ever heard. And you know, you hear about Payday Sunday and all these other very famous sermons, but Al Lacey taught me about the King James Bible, and the way that they did it was it was just unforgettable. When you think of a church that has 100,000 members, now there weren't 100,000 people there, but the way everything was organized, the music, the preaching, the timing, the food, everything was perfect. And Al Lacey cleared up my mind about Bibles, and just when they sang that song, where is the stone that was cut out of the mountain, the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands? And it just made an impression on my life. And Al Lacey, I listen to that tape every once in a while. It's amazing. It's a cassette, and it still works. but Jack Hiles took one pastor's school. You went on a Monday and you left on a Friday morning, and but there was preaching in the morning, and there was preaching in the afternoon, and there was preaching in the evening, and there was always something that was unforgettably done. And he took this one pastor's school, and it was about great men that I have known. Now that was Brother Hiles was he brought. And most of these men had already passed away, but he spent that time sharing with us what these men and the did and their influence on his life. And he told stories to make it more understandable and more personal. I remember him telling this one story. He had to stay this one night. John R. Rice was a very famous preacher, and Pastor Hiles and John R. Rice would go to churches, and they would preach together. And it so happened that this one time that he had to stay overnight. I don't know why they couldn't get a room separately, so they had to share a room. And Jack Hyle said, "Oh, I don't want to do this." He said, "I'm going to go. He's going to be praying all night." He said, I'll never get any sleep, and he's just going to be." He said, "That guy, when we got in that room, took out a Zane Grey novel and read that novel the whole night." He said he read that book in 2 hours. He was just sharing that men are not robots, that they're human. And everybody needs to relax once in a while. And he shared all these things. Now, to you, that does not mean a lot, because you weren't there. You didn't experience it. I didn't experience what Jack Hyles experienced with the great men that affected his life. But I know the men that affected my life, Jack Hyles being one of them. And he said, you know, he said, "You can out-preach me and you can out-teach me, but you can't out-insult me." And because Jack Hyles, he had a personality kind of like Brother Eric. He made preaching fun, and you enjoyed it. And he would just rip your face off. And we've had people there from our church that he just did that. There's a lot of stories. But nevertheless, he was one of the men that affected me. You see, these men were men of character. They were men of commitment, men of patience, and men of prayer. And they taught me how to pray. And the one person that I think of one of the most incredible effects on my prayer life is Tom Williams. Tom Williams used to teach up here at Baptist Bible College when Pastor was going to school there. And I got to meet him, and one pastor school, the theme was the school of prayer. And it was all about prayer, the whole 4 days that we were there. And Tom Williams had a class that you could go to learn how to pray. And everybody wanted to go there, but they only could take in so many people in that one particular time. And I was one who was able to be there. So I was in this room probably with maybe 40 guys. And Tom Williams said, "You want to learn how to pray. You're all here because you think I've got something special about me, that that I've got this connection with God." Well, he said, "I do." He said, "And I'll show you how I got it." Now, he said, "Get down on your knees." And he said, "Start praying." That's how I learned how to pray. He said, "Now, listen, you know as well as I do, just being on your knees doesn't, you don't necessarily have to be on your knees to pray, but it is it's symbolic of our humility before God." And so I can say that I actually got to pray at least in the same room with Tom Williams. And his prayers were so effective. He just passed away recently, by the way. And Tom Williams told us one story that I could never forget. And he was in, I believe it was in Washington State, and he had to go down to California. Anybody ever hear this story? Good. In case I mess it up, you'll never know. So he had to leave Washington State to go south through Oregon into California, way down to California. And he had no money. He had no money at all. And he said, "God, you know I have to get down." I don't know what he had to preach or what it was, but he had to get down there. And he had only had so many days to be able to get there. And he had no money. He said, "God, you're going to have to get me down there. I don't have any money." He had a car. He said, "I don't have enough money for gas." He said, "I pulled into a gas station, and there was a sign there that if you pump more than you weren't supposed to pump more than what you paid for. I guess you had to pay in advance." And the guy was very busy, and Tom Williams drove in, and he said, "I only have this amount of money." I don't know whether it was $10 or what it was. But he said, "Don't put any more in there. Don't put any more." This is when you had an attendant that pumped the gas. So Tom Williams said he gave him the money, and he's sitting in the car. And the guy went and put the pump in, you know, and came around. And he was doing something, and another car came in. And Tom Williams said, "The next thing I know, I'm looking at my fuel gauge. It goes right to full." And the guy came, ran over there, and Tom said, "Everyone, got $10. The guy filled the car. He said, "Well, he said, "I don't have it." And the guy said, "Well, it's my fault." He said, "Just consider it." So he got a full tank of gas. Then, after he had gone, I don't know how many miles, he needed to stop to get food. And so he went to a grocery store. And he went in the grocery store. He said, "I had no money." At this time, he spent the $10 or whatever that he had on the gas. And he was in the store. He said, "I filled up my basket." He said, "God, you gotta help me." So he was in line. There's all these people in line. They're checking him out. He gets right up there. They do his whole order. And he looks, the cashier looks at him and says, "Sir, your bill is paid for." There was a lady in line, whether she knew him or not, whatever it was, she said, I'm paying his bill. So he got all his groceries. He said all the food he needed to make the trip. He said, "It didn't cost me 1 cent." And it went on and on. But what the point that he was making was, is that he asked God to help him, and he trusted God to do it. And he believed God was going to do it. And he didn't know how he was going to do it, but he left it up to God. And he shared a lot of other stories with us, but he drove the point home, is that that we need to pray sincerely and believe what we're asking for. Believe that we're going to receive it. It's not the power of mind over matter or whatever that means, but it's just trusting God. And he taught me how to trust God and to ask and to trust God to provide. And God tests me because I don't advertise my business. And all my work that comes in, it's all from God. And people say, "Well, yeah, it's word of mouth." Yeah, but God blesses that. And just recently, I didn't get a new project for several weeks. And I've said, "God, you've never let me down in 48 years. I think it's 48 years that I've been in my own business." And I said, "But God, it's been like I'm almost 3 weeks." I said, "I haven't had one phone call." I even asked Matthew to pray. And boy, when I start getting desperate, I ask Matthew, because Matthew is like Tom Williams. He gets prayers answered. I need something, I always ask my little kid, my Sunday school kids, to pray for me, because I know God listens to little children, and he loves little children. But God tests us sometimes just to see. You say, you know, God says to me, "You think you have such strong faith." He said, "Well, I'm going to test your faith." So I asked Matthew to pray, and I got a big job. I just got it today. I went there today. God answered that prayer. There is no, this is at a place, a community. There's an architect that lives on the other side of the lake. I'm 50 miles away, but I got the job right there, you know, and I praise God for it. But Tom Williams showed me how to be serious about prayer. And Lee Robertson, I met Lee Robertson. He was 98 years old when he died. I remember him at pastor school. I think he was 91 or something like that. Still preached. I guess what he taught me is to just keep going and don't give up. And just because you're 90-some years old, don't if you're a preacher and you're 90-some years old, don't stop preaching. Just keep going. And Curtis Hudson. Curtis Hudson was a mailman and got saved and became a preacher. And so when he was a preacher, he was still a mailman because he was still delivering messages. But he was, it just showed that here's a very kind of an ordinary guy. And all these men were ordinary men, all of them. There was none of them here that were geniuses, so to speak, but they were men that, see, God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. And Curtis Hudson just showed me, to his dying day, he was preaching at pastor school, and he was dying of cancer. They had to bring him out in a wheelchair. But he preached. And then there was Bill Burr. Bill Burr was one of the biggest guys I ever saw. His lungs, they were gigantic. And Bill Burr could sing. He was a preacher from West Virginia. I think it was West Virginia. Pastor Hiles met him, heard him preach, and said, "I want you to come out here, and I want you to be, I want you to work for me." And Bill Burr could sing. He could shatter a glass at 300 yards with his voice. I heard songs that he sang that I had never heard before. We sing them now. I can't think of any right offhand, but he was an ordinary man, but he was an extraordinary singer and preacher. And he preached once. He said, "I never in my life ever thought that a little preacher like me would ever get the opportunity to stand behind Brother Hiles' pulpit at pastor school and preach." And he preached a message that I've never forgotten. I don't have time to share it with you tonight, but he said the one thing he said before he started preaching, he said, "Tonight we're going up on the mountain." And that's how he started. We're going up on the mountain, which means that we're going to meet Jesus tonight. These were men that had an effect on my life. And Jack Treber, his sermons, I've heard he preached at pastor school. Bob Gray Sr. was a young man when Jack Hiles' life was threatened by someone. Someone said they were going to kill him. And he went, stayed by his house, and followed Jack Hiles from his house to the church office every day. Lester Roloff. I never met Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff had passed away a couple of years before pastor school, but two things I like about pastor the preacher. I don't know if he was a pastor or not, but he was a fantastic preacher. Always carried a big King James Bible with him. He was sued by the state of Texas. He was taken to court. He came into the courtroom one time and he had two Bibles. He had one in this hand and he had one in this hand. And the judge said, what are these Bibles? Why are you carrying Bibles in here? And he said, "Well, I got one to protect me on this side and I got one to protect me on this side." I like two things about, they call him Brother Roloff. He was a vegan and he was a pilot. And And unfortunately, he died in a plane crash. He tried to, from what all I know, he tried to fly through a thunderstorm and just didn't make it. And Jack Hiles used to always make fun of him. He said, yeah, he's always drinking carrot juice. And he said, then he dies in a plane crash. So he said, you figure it. Another man that had a great effect on my life is Peter Accardi. Now, Peter Accardi just lives not far. He lives over in Clark Summit, Newton Ransom, somewhere over there. But he used to come here and preach here every once in a while. Pastor would have him come in and preach. And he was a rock star turned independent fundamental Baptist. Got saved, and his testimony and his preaching had an effect on my life. Another man was Kent Hovind. Now, Bob knows Kent Hovind personally. I can say that I know Kent Hovind. When he came here to preach, he had just gotten out of prison, right? He said, my body is so tense. He said, my neck is so stiff. He said, I don't know if I can preach. And I said, well, I can give you a neck rub. I can kind of help to loosen you up. So one of my claims to fame is that I actually gave Kent Hovind a neck rub. But he said, that feels great. He said, I think I can do it. I think I can do it now. But what a great preacher, and he has set everybody straight on creation and how old the world is, and dinosaurs, and you name it. I show my Sunday school kids on top of the blackboard every single Sunday school class, we review how old the earth is from when God created the earth to the flood, 1600 years, from the flood to when Jesus was born, 2400 years, from when Jesus was born now, 2025 years plus or minus a couple of years for error, but they know, they know when Jesus was born, they know the date he was born. And we know that Christmas Day isn't the exact date, but they know the year. Kent Hovind did so many things for me to help me to understand the Bible and to understand what God has done and what God's doing. And Randall Bloom, he was the preacher I got saved listening to one of his sermons, and he's had an effect on my life probably more than any other person. And he is a perfect. All these men are examples, and they're all special to me. They may not be special to you, but what you need to do is you need to find someone that will influence you. And you need to stick by people who will influence you in the right way. When I was a kid, I never hung around with my kids my age. I don't know why. I just always wanted to be with older people. It seems like they always had better stories. And I figured they knew more than I did because they were older. And I always hung around older people. And it was an older person that was actually my cousin, but much older than me. And he was the first one that ever gave me the gospel. And you need to find someone that is your spiritual hero that's alive today. And you need to take advantage of those men that will have an effect on your life. And we're going to need it. We all need it. But it's one way that God uses men. You know... Charlie Ware, the first pastor of this church, said, God did it then, and he can do it again, and he uses men. Now, that will fit a lot of different context in my thinking. But he uses, the important part is that he uses men. And I can see in my life the men, and the men that are alive today. And listen, a person that can be a good influence on you and be able to be your to be a good example to you does not have to be somebody older than you. Because there are young men younger than me in this church that influence me and have an effect on my life and encourage me and strengthen me. And here's one sitting right here. And I remember Eric when he was about that tall. Give or take a few pounds, I guess. And Matthew and Steve and Bob are men that have an effect on my life by their, not only by their preaching, but by their example of living. And you need to find someone that is a good example and hang around that person. And the most important thing is you need to listen to them. Because you can be around, I had a friend, he was a saved person, and always had problems. Always, there was always some turmoil in his life. I never knew anybody that had so much turmoil. And he made all the turmoil himself. He was his own worst enemy. And I gave him some advice once on a problem that he had. And he never listened to me. And he just, you know, ended up suffering, going through it. But he wouldn't listen. He was wise enough to be able to accept the gospel or be in that place to accept the gospel. But he wasn't wise enough to listen to other men that God were using to help him, and he turned them down. He wouldn't listen. And men are going to do that for you, but you have to be able to remember that you need to listen to what they're saying. Because there is a time period for a young man I won't say any dates, but it starts when you're a teenager, and sometimes it goes up into when you're 40 years old, and sometimes even longer. But you become so smart, you think you know everything. You just think you are the wisest person in the whole world, the fourth person of the, you know, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, and you. You've got to listen to the men that are the examples, and God will put those men in your life if you accept them. But if you run away from them, they're not going to help you. They can't. We're living in a prophetic time period. I never in my life would have ever believed that I would have seen the things that have taken place in the world from when I was a young man till now. And that we're going to see a lot more things happening. And we need to be able to face those. We need to be able to face the future. And we can't do it alone. Now, I have a personality where I could just go and I could stay home, and I would stay home for the rest of my life, and I would be happy. As long as I had food and water, I would, I don't, but that's not what God wants me to do. And God doesn't want me to go to Florida and play shuffleboard. And God wants us to be useful. And he's given us the tools to be able to do that. You know, in this church, I'll speak for this church. God has given us everything. He's given us a pastor. He's given us a building. He's given us a congregation. This is the church. It's not the building. It's all of you. And God has given us everything. He's given us a gospel. He's given us a Bible. And He's given us godly men that can encourage us and pray for us and inspire us and be an example to us. And you need to take advantage of what God has for you. Because I remember Jesse saying this when I used to pick him up in the van. And Jesse was just learning how to drive. And he had his permit. And I used to let you drive the van, didn't I, where you lived? And after a while, he got his license, but then we weren't letting him drive the van, only certain times. And he said to me one day, he said, "I feel like a spare tire. You know, you only need that spare tire when you're in trouble." And he said, "That's what I feel." Now, I don't know if he was kidding me. I think he meant it, because he just wanted to do more. But we weren't pushing him to do that. And now he is a big wheel. Now he's a steering wheel. You know, things change, and we grow. Hopefully, we grow spiritually. But God has given us everything we need to do that. We need to take advantage of it. And for the women, this isn't just for men, obviously. For the women, there are godly women that you need to be inspired by. They become your heroes. I remember going to a house once, and I was gonna redesign this house, and I went there to measure it and measure the rooms and everything. I went in this one room, and it was a young guy's a teenager's room, and the walls were covered with football heroes, you know. Big pictures of football players. And not that, you know, I watch football once a year, whether I need to or not. And but I enjoy it when I do watch it, because I'm with other people who are enjoying it. So I enjoy it with them. And I forgot what I was talking about. No, heroes. Yeah, so all these pictures were on there. They were this young man's heroes, and he wasn't a saved person. I'm certain of it. But we need to have heroes. We don't have to put their. We don't. By the way, we don't know what Moses looked like. I don't think he looked like Carlton Heston, but. They need to be our heroes, the prophets, and Moses and Joseph and we forget about these people. We forget about that they were ordinary people that God chose to do an extraordinary job. And they're there. God put everything in the Bible for us to see. He made people who made the right decisions and people who made the wrong decisions so that we don't make the same wrong decisions and that we would make the right decisions. Everything is there. We have no excuse to ever give God for not living our life to the fullest for Him. And don't ever let anybody try and come up with an excuse, because they've all been used up. There's one person I can't wait to meet when I get to heaven, and that's Noah. This guy was the greatest general contractor that ever lived. He worked on a project for 50 years, plus or minus, I'm not sure. Built the first ship. When I think of it, you know, when I think of building something on the scale that he built it, how many people have ever seen the scale, the full size? Yeah, where is it, in Kentucky? Yeah, how many people have ever been there? How immense it is? Now, I'm sure he had subcontractors, But it was just him and his three sons and all the subcontractors. But I think of men like Noah. I mean, he was a real person that God asked, God told him what to do, and he did it. We're no different. You can be a Noah. You can be a Ruth. I just want to encourage you that there are men who have influenced me, and you need to find the ones that influence you. If you don't have them already, find them. They're readily available. All right, and also, if there's anyone tonight that, if you can't say in your heart that you're 100% certain that you're going to heaven, I think everybody in here is saved, but I don't want to take a chance. I don't want to take a chance that there isn't. But if you're not 100% certain that if you were to die that you would go to heaven, and you're not sure why you could actually go there, God wants you to take the time to realize that you're a sinner, and that there is a penalty for our sin, which is death and hell, and that Jesus paid that penalty when he suffered and died on the cross to pay for our sins. And he offers you heaven as a gift. He was born as a human, just like we were born. The only difference is that he was God. And because he was God, he couldn't sin. And because he couldn't sin, he was the only one who could die to pay for your sins. And Jesus offers you the gift of eternal life, and all you have to do is accept it by faith. Faith is trusting in what you can't see. And we can't see God, but we know he exists. And he's inviting you to come into his heart. And even if you're saved, you may not be baptized, but you need to be baptized and be put on the uniform of being a Christian, the symbol of being a Christian. If you're not baptized, seriously think about being baptized. And if you are baptized and you are a Christian and you need to do more in your life, you want to be a better Christian, then find someone to help you to do that. God has put men and women in your lives, and all you have to do is seek them out, and they will help you to do that. God has given us everything we need. We need to just be able to accept. We need to be able to accept the help that God is offering us. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, we do thank you that you've blessed us in ways.